Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry. That was Billy Joel, My Life. And again, this is Kevin Cry, and this is my show. I am down here broadcasting live in Redding, California. You can listen to us streaming at kcnr1460.com, or you can listen at 1460 AM or 96.5 FM. I am excited for today. I'm going to start us with our weather, and that's brought to you by Weather NorCal and Mike Kruger, good friend of mine, Mike Kruger. And that's not a paid advertisement. He is just a great guy, a legend in the meteorology world. So this forecast update is from him. So today will even be cooler than yesterday, which was Saturday, with highs in the 60s. There will be isolated sprinkles and light showers all over Northern California, including the valley throughout the day, but overall will not amount to much. We also can't rule out an isolated thunderstorm for parts of the North State, but I wouldn't cancel any outdoor plans, he tells me. He says it dries out and warms up slightly next week with highs on the average in the low to mid-70s. That said, there may be a few isolated showers here and there near the middle and latter part of next week, but nothing set in stone just yet. And that is the weather update from Mike Kruger and Weather NorCal. I encourage you to download the app or look him up on Roku or any of his streaming channels, social media, etc. Mike Kruger, thank you. Appreciate you. And I appreciate most of all your love for the North State and everything that is Shasta County. So in studio with me today is a gentleman that I met this week for coffee. He was commenting on one of my Facebook posts that I do after board meetings, and very challenging, but very respectful, and I always enjoy the dialogue of people that agree with me or not. I mean, I ran on, and I even had said multiple times, you know, we don't have to agree, but we have to be able to get along. And one of the things that's been hard for me being in office is the number of people that just, I believe, lead very bitter lives, and they just don't want to have any conversation or listen to anybody else's views. And I'm not saying that they have to have their minds changed or their views altered or differed, but at least just have sit down and have a conversation of why somebody feels the way they feel. And you can always part and say, hey, look, I think you're bat-you-know-what crazy, but I respect the thought that that's your opinion, and I'll respect it, and I just can't go along with it. So in studio today is a gentleman named Spencer. Spencer actually works for the county for Health and Human Services, and we didn't really go into that when we met for coffee because it's not about his position. It's more about his viewpoints, and there's a fire engine going by, so if you hear that, that's not in your neighborhood, that's in ours. But so Spencer and I just had a really great conversation about some ideas he had, thoughts, and the theme today is really how can we have conversations and get along. So Spencer, welcome in.
Hey, good morning.
Man, that's a great radio voice, I tell you. And you've got a great hat. So you kind of get cheated when you wear a great hat like that into the studio. Nobody can see it. But
well, you know, it's okay. People have told me I have a face for radio as well.
There you go. So we have – see, look at that. Common ground right off the bat. That's why I always cover up the camera and stick to radio. But with that, tell us a little bit really quick, Spencer, about yourself, where you grew up, and whatever you'd like to share.
Well, I'm from Shasta County. I grew up in Cottonwood most of my life. Moved away for college in Southern California, met a lot of really great people, made a lot of lifelong relationships, got a couple degrees and decided to move back up here. I taught for a little while, found a couple odd jobs here and then, doing IT work and things like that, and eventually I did, as you mentioned, start working for the county a couple years ago.
That's great. Married, yes?
Yes, I am.
Kids?
One biological, and we do foster kids as,
yes,
as well.
So tell us just really quick about your heart for the foster community.
Well, you know, as you know, being on the board, they've had many talks about the ACEs scores locally here in Shasta County, and you know, Shasta County has pretty high ACEs scores statewide.
Pretty high is, that's like, yeah, saying
it's yeah, a bad thing.
It's like,
right,
saying it's pretty hot here, yeah, in the summer.
It's, yeah. You don't want a high golf score, right?
No, you don't.
So there's a lot of children in our community who are disadvantaged, who need help, you know, statewide. It's not just Shasta County, but statewide they are looking for resource families, which is the legal term for a foster family. So if anybody is interested in getting involved, then there's many avenues. There's private foster agencies. There is Shasta County, of course, social services. And so if you are interested in that or helping out, then reach out and get involved, because there's a shortage of those families statewide, and there's a lot of kids that do need that help.
And then what are the ages of the kids that you currently are fostering?
Also, when you choose to be a foster family, you can pick which kids you're comfortable with, whether or not
ages,
but
genders.
Also gender as well, as like if you're only comfortable with taking in girls, if you're only comfortable taking in one child. If you're willing to take on sibling sets need placement more than anything, because not a lot of families have that capability to take on two or three children all at the same time. My family has been blessed so that we have three beautiful children with us right now, and but we kind of stick with the lower end because I am younger myself. I wasn't really comfortable taking in, like, teenagers into the home, yeah, at this point. And because my biological daughter is on the younger side, I made a rule. I was like, I don't really want more than one child in diapers at the same time.
Yeah.
So that kind of narrowed down our age range for between, like, 3 and 10 years
but
old.
But they still had plenty of individuals that you could bring.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
it wasn't like it cut your options way down.
No, it didn't really.
You had shared with me that there was, like, I think you said it was 6 or 8 people sleeping at the Children's Services building for the county one night because there wasn't placement homes for them.
I don't think I shared that with you, but I've heard stories, okay, about that myself, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just, that's heartbreaking, man. Mm-hmm. Kids can't choose their parents. So, okay, well, on that note, we'll transition. So I want to read everybody the post that that kind of started our conversation here. It said, I did an 8-10 minute video. The caption was, largest agenda to date, Shasta County is better tonight than it was this morning. And I said, much accomplished. And then I go in to talk about, in the video, quite a bit about transparency and about the public getting to see the dialogue with supervisors, why I think that's important. And then your initial response was, you're right that the public seeing the supervisors discuss amongst themselves is very, very important. And the public, myself included, sees the way you talk to county employees, other supervisors, department heads, etc. It's disappointing behavior to see, but I'm glad the public gets a chance to see your behavior so they can be informed when your recall comes. And then, you know, and I responded and I said, you know, thank you for being a fan. Of course, that's my sense of humor, which sometimes can get me in trouble. And I said, and spending time on my page. Also, we must be talking to vastly different employees of the county. So then there was quite a dialogue back and forth. And I said, look, like, let's just grab coffee. Like, at the end of the day, let's sit and talk. And we sat, was it Thursday or Friday?
Friday,
sorry. And we met for an hour, and I felt it was so impactful to me that I reached back out to you and said, hey, let's maybe come on my radio show at some point. And did I think it would be 2 days later? No, but it schedules worked out, so here we are. And then you edited the post and said, thank you for the meeting and the conversation, Kevin, much appreciated. So I think that is the basis of what I want to discuss today about how we, not you and I get along, but how do people, because you had mentioned when I had said, hey, you should come to my radio show, and you said, I'm going to be the most liberal person that's ever probably been on your show, correct?
I did. That was tongue-in-cheek. You know, I don't really like the spectrum of labeling people as
liberal
or conservative,
yeah,
you know, because I think people are complicated. I think people have diverse trains of thought. I think if you really talk to individuals, by and large, most people wouldn't, if you get down into like the brass tacks of the issues, they don't 100% hold a conservative view or 100% hold a liberal view. You might have a scattering of, like, you know, a libertarian or progressive or all these various different, like, ideas,
yeah,
thrown in. And that's something for myself. If you had to label me more moderate centrist, I guess, I don't know, because I think that ideas, I like ideas that work regardless of where they come from.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that, and I think the I think what's happened as a society is it's just basically been you get put in one camp or the other, and it becomes you know, friend or foe, and that's really unfortunate because some of the best conversations, some of the best ideas that I've heard since I've been seated would be from people that you would say are left of center to a degree, and you know, and you had I think a phenomenal idea. And I wasn't going to share it because I wanted to save it if I was ever chair someday. But I think I'll probably burn it at some point, and we'll talk about that later, in terms of public comment and the you know, and the flow of our board meetings. But so tell me, like, what do you think? So you know, when you post something online, and we've never met, didn't know each other, what was your impression? And I'll go second, but because it's my show, I get to go first. But so, what was your impression of your belief of who I was going to be versus when we met in coffee, and then even to have you here today?
Well, you know, I didn't really have a reason to believe that you were either a different or separate person when talking to you as an individual. I recognize the idea that to some extent, when you hold a public office and you have to sit through public comment through hours and hours of people who really love you and people who really hate you, you kind of have to put up a mask a little bit of a defense mechanism. And so I totally recognize that. And after, you know, hours and hours, it wears at you and it tears you down. And you say things that you might regret because you're just tired. Your head hurts. It's been a long day.
Because you were surprised I would go to coffee. I mean...
Well, to be honest, I didn't necessarily know if you were bluffing or not. But, you know, I was like, you know, if he's willing to have a cup of coffee. I drink a lot of coffee, too. I'm very much a coffee connoisseur. And I am always willing to have those conversations with people I disagree with because I enjoy the art of dialogue. And I think the art of having a conversation with somebody who you disagree with is completely lost nowadays. It's been lost for some time because, as we talked about during our conversation, the tendency for most people when you hear somebody who disagrees with you politically or ideologically or religiously, whatever field that might be, we have these coping mechanisms and these ways of stopping viewing them as another human being.
Yeah.
And they become another statistic. They become this faceless evil that you have to fight against, as opposed to, hey, this is another person that I am neighbors with, that I live in this community with, that maybe we actually do share common ground if we did sit down for that cup of coffee and shared our ideas and opinions about things. And certainly there's going to be different disagreements.
Yeah.
Always will be.
So where do you think we disagree? I mean, what do you think is something we disagree on greatly? I mean, let's pick something. And you're starting to smile a little bit. So let's pick something that the audience can like start rubbing their hands together and think, okay, good, we're going to go there. Whatever.
Okay.
I mean, like this is we didn't prep this. We didn't even have a discussion other than, hey, I'll see you there at 7:55.
So. Right. So the election issue is probably something that would disagree with
Let's do this. Let's stick like five. And I'd be willing to bet we're probably going to go over the time. So I do promise the listeners at least the last 10 minutes. I'll give you an update of the upcoming agenda and the past agenda. But if we go over the time, we go over the time. So let's spend five, six minutes on the election stuff, and we'll go to another topic. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, and like Kevin said, I didn't really prepare anything on this. But, you know, we all look at the same data, which is crazy to me, right? So when we get this idea of, like, I've heard people getting up at public comment and, you know, you bash the other side as, like, you're just an idiot for believing this or something. No, we're all looking at the same pieces of paper. We're all looking at the same news stories. We're all looking at the various data sets, but we're disagreeing about how that data needs to be interpreted, and we're disagreeing about what the key takeaways and if there even is a large pattern of fraud. And I would be one of those individuals where, especially in Shasta County, I didn't see the evidence of that fraud, and I didn't necessarily see the need for a change. I agreed with the sense that if we wanted to get rid of our current election system, and that's a valid desire, we should have taken the time and done the legwork so that we already had that next system in place before the previous contract was terminated.
So here's what I say when you talk about looking at data subsets and things like that. I think it's a lot more dimensional than like a piece of paper. I look at it like a beach ball.
Oh yeah, it certainly is. Yeah,
we could put a beach ball in front of you and in front of me, and I'm going to say that beach ball has a white panel, a red panel, and a yellow panel. And you're going to look at that beach ball and say, dude, you're nuts. It's got a blue panel, a green panel, and a purple panel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same beach ball until you spin it. So here's what I did in that process. The very first thing, and this just came down to, I hate lease payments. I hate them. I hate borrowing something, or I don't like that. So the very first thing to me is when I looked at the numbers of a lease payment over 10 years, of which we were nearing the end, I said, okay, well, we can just buy equipment and we can save a whole bunch of money. And the thing that really tipped it was Kathy Darling Allen really liked the HART system,
mm-hmm.
and would much rather have that system in, when the contract ran out. And Joanna Francesca, she preferred Dominion or the ES&S. But I like the HART system. I like the salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when they did the open house there at the Veterans Place in downtown. So yeah, that was an easy first decision. Now what followed was watching the state freak out about it. And we had a plan. It was hand counting. And in terms of the Secretary of State saying, well, we're going to come out with new regulations. So then they started to, like, move the goalposts. And that's what was disturbing for me, because even to this day, and I've said multiple times when it comes to fraud and stolen elections, I don't know. But honestly, what I do know is I've had to change my email password like twice this last week because it was almost hacked, or it was being hacked. I don't know how many times I've had to get a new bank card because with four companies and, you know, let's say 10 different employees with cards in my different companies, I mean, I've got 30 credit cards out there. So we're constantly changing credit cards because the accounts get hacked. So what makes the elections thing any less probable? And I never, I still haven't received the answer that makes me feel good enough. But so that's really where, you know, that's where this whole thing has been for me. And it's hard to see the state take away local control, because I believe, like I was told, Spencer, I was told like in the late 90s that I wanted to start a company training kids. And they said, there's not enough kids here. There's not enough money here to do that. Well, mm-hmm. I did that, and I did it for a long time and did it very well. And then being a talent agent in Shasta County, they said, there's no way you're going to represent people from, you know, New York, Houston, L.A., living in Reading.
Right.
Well, you know, you can do that. And there's not just me. There's countless other entrepreneurs that have done stuff here that you just make work. And I believe Kathy and her staff really could, still could or could have done hand counting very efficiently, very affordably, and infused that money into the economy opposed to just giving it to machine contracts. So,
well, if I can share just a little anecdote as far as the idea of local control, because I agree with you, is like local control is a fantastic
thing. He agrees.
Thing.
Let's go to break. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go.
I'm just kidding.
But we have the sense, when you look at like a history of legislation, like throughout the history of the state of California or throughout the history of the nation or something, legislation is naturally a result of something that has happened, all right? So this event has happened that has caused legislative bodies to look at it and say, hey, we can't let this happen again, so we have to fix it, we have to address it, whether or not you agree with if that's the correct pattern. But anecdotally, looking at fire codes, for example, most fire codes that are in existence nowadays actually are the result of theater fires throughout history, because theaters were prone to burning down. They had, you know, historically gas lamps or very high wattage electric equipment, and so you have these amazing buildings throughout history burning down. Historically, there was an event where, you know, there was a fire in a theater and the crowd is trying to get out, but all the doors open inward, you know.
Yeah.
And this was before the time of crash bars, right? And so
yes,
you have a mass loss of human life because everybody's pressing against the door. They can't get out. And so people looked at that and said, hey, we can't let that happen again. So we're going to look at the fire code. We're going to legislate, oh, all these doors have to now open outwards. So in a sense, that's a loss of local control, right? Because now locally you don't have the power to say, is like, okay, I have this big business building and I want all my doors to open inward. Is now you have to have them open outward. Now you have to have these crash bars and you have to have this safety system in place, because historically we've seen a loss of human life. Now, of course, I'm not making the comparison
to
the election thing to like loss of human life and things like that. But that's just illustrative to say, is if there is an instance where they believe a wrong has been done on the local level, then the state is like, well, we can't let that happen again. And so when, as local politicians, you're making a decision, I think you have to think of the long game. Is like, okay, how can we game this so thoroughly? How can we think very long term so that, hey, this is a bulletproof plan, all right? and we're going to do this very well, and we already have the system in place, and we've already created all the regulations and the safety mechanisms and things like that, so that our system is unimpeachable, right? There is no place for the state to even worry, because it's already all taken care of, and it's proven, things like that. And so that's something I think is, in terms of the elections, if it was just like the switch to heart, then that's fine. I agree. Owning is always better than leasing in the long term. But I think there was a lot of things that were just not thought out. I think a lot of decisions were impulsively made that could have been pushed later down the line. It's like, okay, hey, let's think this through and the ramifications of this. Because when you do make those decisions that are potentially irresponsible at the local level, then that's when you start losing that local control, because the state starts to take notice of it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I understand where you're coming from. I don't obviously agree in terms of the impulsivity of it, because you know, we had multiple meetings with Kathy Darling and the Secretary of State. I mean, the Secretary of State, I'm not even sure, because Kathy Darling was supposed to be at our last board meeting, didn't come. So we're still trying to get information that the Secretary of State has approved, ever did approve our hand counting process that we put forward to be accepted. And I'm not even sure they did. And as you know, we're in a state that they can choose to work with you or not. And that's what becomes problematic, is when you see, well, you know, like, work with us. This is what we want to do. Help us get there, because that's your job. And then, you know, people sometimes don't want to. And the other thing is, like, you know, we just talking to Frank, a veteran that comes in every Sunday, and he's here. He's out there listening. And, you know, he had talked about how long it's taken the VSO office to move, and how long they've talked about it. And it's like, at some point, you just got to pull the trigger and say, we're going to do this. So with that, we're going to take our first break, and maybe our only break. It's at the midway spot. So, Christina, we will take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to 96.5 FM. This is the Kevin Cry Show. Hello there. This is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
American flags, never can see enough of those. So we're back in studio here, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. This is Kevin Cry. I'm in studio with Spencer. So Spencer, we talked about elections. Let's pick up on something else. Let's go to – what's another topic? I'll let you pick. You're my guest. What's another topic that you want to hit on that you think that there is varying opinions that – people on either side, let's call it left or right, don't seem to be able to have a conversation on? Because, I mean, I would love to hear, like...
Well, you know, while I'm thinking about that, because I'm honestly blanking on just, like, local specific policy ideas at the moment, I was just thinking about what really changed this for me is this study that was done where they were looking at, like, your fight or flight center of the brain.
The amygdala.
Know? The amygdala, yeah. And you may have heard this before, but they actually were looking at people, and they were feeding them statements that they believed or they didn't believe in, things like the sky is green, for example. Mm-hmm. But stuff that people held as like core beliefs, and one that was really common was telling people that Washington did not have wooden teeth, which historically we actually know is like there's no actual historical evidence for Washington having a set of wooden dentures. That was just kind of a myth that came along throughout the ages and things like that. But people, like, their fight or flight center of the brain really lit up when they heard stuff like that, that they vehemently disagreed with. And I was just thinking about, you know, just the decorum issue in the board chambers.
Well, in the country.
And in the country, Shasta County is easy for us to talk about because we know our community. It's a microcosm of what is going on nationwide.
Absolutely.
And we have people, and I see the people who are very, I mean, honestly, when you show up to a board meeting, you're doing so because you're super passionate about something, right?
Or you're super bored.
Maybe
not you or I, but I'm just telling you, like, there's some people in there that just, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Super passionate about something. They're angry about something. They want to get something off their chest. They are angry at the board. They're angry at the county or other people who have spoken, things like that. And honestly, it's like that center of the brain is lighting up. They hear something that they have disagreed with, and to their brain is saying, hey, your life is in danger right now. You know, your body's pumping full of that adrenaline.
And when your amygdala is hijacked, reasoning and the ability to cope is gone.
Right.
It's gone. I mean, my daughter's a, just really quick, my daughter's a school psychologist, you know, mm-hmm. and she's getting to now practice what she has studied. And, and when a kid, or especially an adult, has had their amygdala just completely hijacked, there is no reasoning. It's gone. It's total fight or flight.
And the human body is not meant to function that way, because when it is constantly going off, it can actually create some damage and nerve endings and things like that. Having worked with foster children and foster kids who have gone through horrific trauma and things like this, that center gets activated and is extremely difficult to bring them back and calm them down sometimes.
And for some, it takes like hours.
Yeah. And so I think about that, and I bring that up because regardless of anybody's political ideology, at least that fact in mind should create a bit of empathy for your fellow citizens in the board chamber, you know. And I'm thinking of this idea, regardless of your political ideology, whether you show up as a conservative or liberal or progressive or whatever ideas that you have when you're showing up. I have seen plenty of people from all walks of life say horrific things in that chamber.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And I think, as we mentioned earlier, the tendency to dehumanize the other side, and you start to cope and say, hey, only the other side is saying these things. And if we were honest with ourselves, it's like, no, there's people that politically we might agree with who are like, hey, don't say that, buddy.
Yeah.
You know?
And we agree, or I shouldn't say we agree. I don't want to lead you into that. Because I know we had the discussion about when less than desirable words are used within the chamber and a person's right to say it.
Right.
And I mean, and that is the ideologically the place where those are the tough moments when somebody says something that we, I mean, obviously there was an individual, not going to say gentleman because that's not true. A gentleman wears a hat like yours, but when somebody says a word that is just heinous, vile, what's really tough is when it's somebody's right to say that. And I think that's where, when we talk about decorum, I am always going to fall on somebody's right. And and it's like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So this was my response, and kind of getting a little bit more, because I don't have a perfect example. I've thought about like that instance over and over again, and I agree with the sense of.
And just for the people, just for the people listening that maybe don't know, there was an individual that used the N word in a very ignorant, there's no intelligent way to use that word, but it was very vile, very heinous, and he used that in the chamber, and it created a lot of tension and a lot of uproar throughout the community in different capacities. So go ahead. I'm making sure the listeners know what we're talking about.
Right, of course. And I don't think there's a perfect example, and as an elected official who is upholding the Constitution, of course, you have various ways that you have to navigate this. My thought is, individuals who have the right to say something, of course, the freedom to say something doesn't necessarily release us from the consequences of what we say, right? We have freedom of speech in this country, and yet we also have libel laws and slander laws. We have consequences for if you use your speech to completely destroy the livelihood of another human being in a false way, right?
And, unless you're an elected official.
Right.
Then you get away with it.
And then...
No, I'm not saying I get away with it. I'm saying people can say whatever they want about me.
Well, there's for whatever reasons historically, there's more freedom to say things about public officials because when you run for a public office, you're giving up to a certain extent certain privacies that you enjoyed as a private citizen. And there's reasons for that. But when we think about the incident in the board chamber with the racial slur, I think about, well, the individual said that, but there's nothing stopping the whole of the board, each of the board members as individuals, from standing up in that moment and saying, hey, I personally, as an individual and as an elected official, find that statement vile, and I just want you to know that.
And as you look at the board chambers and the interaction of the five supervisors, and I can't articulate what Supervisor Kellstrom, Chair Jones, Supervisor Rickert, or Supervisor Tim, or Garmin, what training they received when they first were seated. Mm-hmm. But I received mine, and one of the things was we spoke briefly about public comment and First Amendment rights and people's ability to say what they want, and that always stuck with me because I had to prep myself for people are going to say things. And this was way before I was seated. I mean, this is before the first meetings. And it was like, okay, be prepared because you're really not going to interrupt, or stop because that is somebody's 3 minutes. And because, I ran on a platform basically of transparency and wanting to, to be heard as a citizen. That's how I came to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the few times all five supervisors responded the same. And I can't say why they respond. I mean, the reason I didn't respond was just because of that. Like I started to lean forward and I thought, I'm not going to. I have to bite my tongue. And I haven't been perfect. I mean, believe me, I've a couple times, said something. But that was one of the most unfortunate things. So when we go back to decorum, let me ask you, like this last meeting, we had a very, contentious thing with the appointment of Dr. Mu.
Mm-hmm.
So let's segue a little bit over to that, because I think what really charged our country, at least in your lifetime, and I'll say my lifetime, because I look at 9/11, because you are, I won't give your age away, but you're younger than I am.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a super young guy, yeah.
No, I know. So... But 9/11, like that really, and looking back now and all the stuff we know now versus back in 2001, surrounding 9/11 maybe would be different for people's thoughts on it. But at that time, it really rallied our country for a common cause. And again, I don't want to go back and unpack all of that. But then COVID now is the one that's probably the most obviously in your lifetime, I would assume. So how do you think that changed the political climate and what that's done? Response to that and like Dr. Mu, because I look at that and it's hard for me, and maybe because I'm going through it now as an elected official and knowing what he's stepping into, and it's not because, he needs the money. It's not because he didn't have a extremely successful practice. Did it because he thinks he could help,
right?
Well, or he knows he can help.
I would say, for lack of a better term, the way that I've described it is that these flashpoints in our history and in our lives create what we use as purity tests for other people. So I was a school child during 9/11, and it was very formative, of course, growing up because, as a child, you're very malleable and hearing all these opinions and things that are going on. I was older but had children in school, during the COVID times and things like that, and seeing how formative it was for them. And we talked a little bit about how devastating that was for the foster care system because of the lack of accountability and things like that. But we use these very traumatic events in our history as these purity tests because we believe, hey, this is the way and this is the only way that we must respond to this event, right? And if you don't agree with me on this, then again, the dehumanization, you are an enemy, you are an other, or something like that. But even within, we see within our own, like, political parties, so rhino is a common term that is used, is like, you agree with me on all these plethora of issues if you're a conservative. You agree on all these issues, but you disagree on this one thing. Maybe you agreed on all these conservative issues, but you agreed with the mask mandate, for example. Well, then you're a rhino, right? You're not actually a true conservative because you failed my purity test. If you're on the liberal side or the progressive side, is like, hey, you agree with all these issues, but you don't agree with me on LGBT rights, for example, or something like that, just as an example. Well, then you're not progressive enough, and so you failed that, and you're not a true
So how do we have the conversations? I mean, like how what's your, I mean, I'm not saying your solution, like we're going to sit here and fix it in downtown Reading.
Yeah, we'll fix it. It's okay. No, I understand we're not going to fix it. I think a little bit at a time, having conversations like this, that it is possible. Some people are never going to be willing to sit down, whether you're on the right or the left or wherever you sit. Some people just will refuse to sit down and have those conversations with other people. Some people will be willing to have those tough conversations and being able to create an environment that you can foster those conversations. But, of course, people in your position, in the position of all the board members, is like you have to lead by example and you have to show the ability to have those conversations respectfully in a public forum, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I'll take it one step further. And so I do want to come back to the Dr. Moo thing because I'm not asking you because of HHSA. I'm asking just because, I mean, I think that is something that was, I mean, I knew there'd be some public outcry, but that's because there just is for anything. We could say, hey, we're going to, you know, paint these white lines a cream color instead of white, and people are going to freak out about that. But the, you know, when you talk about the conversations, I mean, that's why I've really tried to push the dialogue with the supervisors up on the board, and let's talk about our, not debate our votes, not trying to change anybody's opinion, but what's really tough is, I mean, like the Brown Act for me is not tough at all. I know the Brown Act, I won't violate it, and it's just not worth it to me. But, you know, if you can't have those discussions with the other board members up there so people can understand, and that's what drives me the most nuts, Spencer, is the politicking. And that's why for me it's like it's, you know, it's not politics as usual for me. Like, I want to have the discussion.
Right, so let's talk a little bit before we go back to Dr. Moo about the relationship between the board members.
And it doesn't even have to be Dr. Moo. I just want to know, like, because of the and I don't necessarily know what your COVID response was. I could probably ascertain it was probably different than mine, to some degree, maybe. But I would like to know, like, how do we move forward? Because, like, the personal rights of people, whether it's health or, you know, I think that's important.
Right.
So back to the board.
So talking about relationships between supervisors, a criticism I offered to you when we sat down for our cup of coffee was that sometimes, to an observer, it felt like when you were having these conversations with other supervisors, the goal was to receive those sound bites that would be potentially politically beneficial to yourself, as opposed to actually having the dialogue for the purpose of creating solutions. And we talked a little bit back and forth about that. And that isn't a criticism that I would level at you individually. I would level it at every single one of the board members, because as somebody who listens to the board meetings every time they happen, it seems to me that because the personal strife has built up to such an extent, maybe when voting time comes, you don't necessarily vote because, hey, I actually agree with this issue, but I'm going to vote because, oh, I don't agree with this supervisor, you know? And that's a shame to be at that point as a community when we have our elected officials like that. And can it be fixed? I think so. I think it takes time. What I think, and a solution that we talked about a little bit during our cup of coffee was, well, hey, I disagree with the supervisor, but hey, where's our common ground? We talked about the common ground. What is a concrete issue that our community is facing that we both agree is an issue that we both can work together and find a solution on, and maybe even co-sponsor an agenda item or something like that? Despite our disagreements in the months past, let's show the community that, hey, as elected officials, we still do, though we disagree on many things, still have the community in mind and still want to push community-oriented solutions forward.
Amen to that. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's, you know, I think that's important. And when you talk about co-sponsor, I mean, there's a lot of issues many of us could probably work on with one another, different combinations. But okay, well, no, I think that's good input. So let's go back to the you know, the Dr. Moo, the health officer, because that seems to be a lightning rod to a point. With you know, like people are talking about you know, like epidemiology or different. It's like all these things have only been created because of COVID. Meaning that's never been a big, I believe, from what I'm told, a huge marker for people to get up and talk about, and it's not like Dr. Moo doesn't have extensive background in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like the health officer, to me, what I think is going to be great personally is I think helping recruit. I mean, I don't think there's a better person to recruit new physicians and new practices into the county as somebody who has built a successful practice over the course of 30 years here. You know, that's just one thing that nobody even mentions. You know, that, and mm-hmm. because we talk about like the lack of healthcare, we had a supervisor talk about having to go outside the county for his own medical care.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mentioned to you is, I mean, for foster kids in general,
oh, yeah,
it's difficult waiting months and months and months to yeah. finally see a dentist. And then the dentist has to refer you to somebody out in Stockton, or for example, and it takes a long time while these kids are having all these painful medical issues going on.
So how do you think, you know, coming out of COVID, because that essentially has drawn the political lines for most people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people was like, you know, are you this? Are you that? Did you, you know? And so how do we get along in that? Because, I mean, people really want to die on that hill
yeah.
of COVID response stuff, even to this day. And to me, I don't understand it, because, like, I come from a place of just personal choice and liberty. Like,
right.
And I'm not saying how do you or how do other people, like, argue against that. And I'm not saying me, but just against that approach to say, hey, look, like I told you, the biggest argument I got in essentially during COVID was somebody getting bullied at Sprouts because they were wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. And I was standing behind the person in line, and I told the person, hey, just back off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're wearing, you know, an Adele shirt or a Def Leppard shirt or a mask. Doesn't matter. Let them be them. It's not your place, you know? And so here I'm sticking up for somebody wearing a mask. Do I agree
right.
with it? No. But, like, I you know, just help me understand that, because I'd like to understand, because that's the thing that gets me, is so many people are caught up on that.
Well, here's how I approached it during COVID is, at the time, I wasn't working with the county back then. And many of my coworkers were elderly, and they were among the most susceptible to this illness. And this is regardless of COVID, but, you know, they would have been very susceptible to the flu and the common cold. And at that age, you know, your immune system is different, of course. My response was, I chose to get vaccinated. I chose to wear a mask, particularly because of the community that I was in. We talked about our common faith as well, and many members of my church who are also in that susceptible place. And so that was my thought. And also, just, you know, of course, I'm not going to wear a mask like walking around my own home or something like that. But if I'm around somebody who's like, hey, it would make me more comfortable if this happened, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, sure. I'll do what I can to make you comfortable in this moment, you know?
Yeah. And you know, and I think that's totally reasonable. It's just like when I tell my son, it'd make me happy if you mm-hmm. comb your hair before yeah. you go. I mean,
and recognizing is like the idea of, so the subject of mandatory vaccinations is a difficult one to navigate, because there's precedent for it already. Is if you send your children to the school system, in many ways, your kids have to be vaccinated for certain diseases like polio and things like that. Many people will argue is like there's different historical data, of course, for the COVID vaccine versus other vaccines, and we don't have time to get into the nitty gritty of all that here today. What's really useful, though, Kevin, is everybody taking a breath.
Yeah,
we have to recognize that we all went through some horrible stuff together, and we reacted different ways. Whether you reacted one way or another to the pandemic, we all went through it together. And we all need to recognize that it affected us in very negative ways, right?
Yeah,
we do share that.
I just don't understand, like us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we, I mean, I would consider you a friend. I mean, in the sense that you're not just somebody casually, you know. Like if you said, "Hey, my foster son's selling candy bars for Little League. You know, would you buy a couple?" I'd probably buy a box from you. Now, if you're a great friend, I'd probably buy a case, but I'd probably buy a box from you at this point. And the thing for me, you know, is like I don't know how as a society we get to have these conversations, and maybe we never will. Maybe there's people out there that are just so hung up on their beliefs and on both sides that it's just, and maybe I'm just my head's in the clouds thinking, you know, that we're all going to just be able to get along at some point, because that's what public office has really taught me. It's taught me a lot of things, but one of the things has been very much that you know, people just really aren't willing to listen, or people really aren't willing to try and understand a different point of view. And when you know, I can say this, when you're self-employed, you're going to learn those lessons one way or the other. You're going to learn them before it's devastating, or you're going to learn them after. Either way, you're going to learn them. And
well, the way that I try to live is being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And many people who know me might laugh at that, because I will also be the first to admit I'm very I struggle with my patience. I lose my temper, you know?
I'm sorry, people, but if you were looking at Spencer wearing this hat, you would not think this man has an angry bone in his body. I mean, he looks like one of the guys that should be working at Disneyland at, like, the train that everyone's smiling. Just what is that hat called, by the way?
Scally cap.
Yeah, I mean, it's just and it matches your shirt.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, you got to get credit for that. So let me, I want to end on a light note. Like, I'm going to be a grandpa here in a few months.
Congratulations.
And, oh, thank you. Yes. And it is really, and it's funny to say, but it's really changed my outlook, even as being a supervisor, of like, wow, like, I knew at some point I was going to be a grandpa in my life.
Mm-hmm.
At 47, you know, okay, a little sooner than I thought when my daughter was getting, when we gave her away in July getting married. We said, hey, just wait a couple years. And, you know, she probably waited a couple hours or a couple days because she got pregnant on her honeymoon. But, you know, it is what it is. And so, but it's really made me realize, like, you know, the decisions we make as supervisors and as just people living in the community is going to form where my, you know, my grandkids are, I hope, going to grow up. And it just makes it like where I'm like, man, we gotta get people rowing in the same direction. Doesn't mean we all have to agree, but we gotta be able to get along and stop the vitriol and the I gotchas and the slander and the just browbeating. So is there I'm gonna have you back at some point, man. This has been I'm not kidding, the fastest hour I'm dead serious. I've been on air now for I guess about a year, because I went back into the campaign season. I had to take some time off during the election because of FPPC rules. But I've had times where I'm like bleeding out the last 15 minutes, and this just flew, man.
Well,
and,
thank you.
I think if and so again, do you mind if I say your?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Say your first last name, because people are asking.
Yeah, my name is Spencer Deardorff. And
Spencer Deardorff. There you go.
Local community member.
Local community member and coffee and hat connoisseur. So, Spencer, I just appreciate you coming in. I'm going to give an update here for the last few minutes. You're welcome to stay and listen, I just really appreciate you coming in.
It really does
mean a lot, so thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right, so with that, we're going to spend the last 5 minutes giving you an update on some of the things going on. So this week we have a board meeting on Tuesday. It's an evening meeting. So if you normally work and can't make the board meetings, I would encourage you to come out. And you know what? I just realized, I don't know if it starts at 5 or 6. So that's kind of crazy, but
5:30.
And okay, and Spencer's still here as a co-host helping me out. So yes, 5:30. That meeting starts at 5:30. I put a recognition forward, and I have a recognition of Larry and Vicky Fuqua, as well as Tanya Donahoe from Everyday Fitness. And when I first was elected, I said I wanted to recognize them at some point, and the meeting that they were going to be recognized was actually canceled because there wasn't anything on the agenda, so they moved it to October 24th. And the reason I wanted to recognize Everyday Fitness and their leadership is during COVID, during the lockdowns, they organized the entire Shasta County fitness community. Even had an individual come up from Yuba who owned a club as well here, but he was taking the information from Shasta County back to Yuba. And they organized everybody on how to help the community Stay Fit and how to open safely and do it. And it wasn't, and this was the thing that I was just so moved by, is it wasn't from a perspective of, hey, we're all losing our livelihoods. It was, hey, we got to get the community engaged from a health and fitness standpoint, because we know the healthier your body is, the less susceptible to disease and viruses and your ability for your immune system to fight back. And they led that charge, and I wanted to recognize them for that. So that's going to be one of the things that we'll kick the meeting off of after the prayer, of course, and the flag salute. But then the next thing is the gun range. Chair Jones will have to recuse himself, and it's a zone amendment. And if you've been following it, this is something that Patrick Jones and his family have been working on, I believe, for well over 10 years. It might be 12 or 15 years. And public comment for that will go late into the night, I'm sure. And what I've spent a lot of time on personally is I've looked over the last 10 to 20 years of all the different zone amendments and changes that the various boards have voted on, either up or down. Just this last meeting, we approved two zone amendments. I mean, two on the last meeting, and there was, I think, very little to no public comment on those. And granted, they were much, much smaller than the proposed zone change. But I've looked a lot with Haas Farm, and which I had to recuse myself from that because I take – we actually had, I think, 100 kids we took to Haas Farms yesterday. There might have been 60 or 70 kids, but between 50 and 100 kids we took to Haas Farms yesterday. So because of my financial – interest in Haas Farms, not personally with the place itself, but the experiences we take students to, I had to recuse myself from that. But I've looked at the different zone amendments, changes, ordinances that follow that. So there's a lot of parallels there. So those are the two things coming up. On the October 31st board meeting, we will have my charter resolution that will go before the board. And if that goes before the board and passes, it will then go to the voters. It'll go to the voters in March. And for a lot of individuals there that are saying, hey, they're going to put all this stuff in there, like, you know, again, don't jump to conclusions about what's going to be in the charter. What I'm going to put in the charter is very, very simple. It's going to be stripped down to just a very, very few sentences, couple paragraphs, and it really comes down to local control as it relates to supervisors. So that means no governor ever gets to appoint a supervisor in Shasta County. It will either be a board decision or it will go to a special election. And I think that's the basis of making sure that the five elected officials that sit on that board, you know, forever, are picked by the people here in Shasta County, because nobody knows Shasta County better than the people that live here in Shasta County. And especially, and I was already going down this road prior, but when you look at the appointment of the individual that replaced Feinstein, I mean, look at that. I mean, look at the reason why that individual was selected. It had nothing to do with capability. It had to do with their sexual orientation and the color of their skin. He came right out and said that. And that bothers me that we're not picking a person based on their qualifications. I mean, I just that bothers me. So the whole charter on the 31st, I would encourage the community to come out, hear what that's about. I mean, there was mention of different charters being used as an example. I would say the closest one probably that we're moving towards now, or that I'm moving towards now, is Orange County's charter, which was very, very short and simple. Other things coming up on the the other couple things I wanted to mention from the last board meeting that we talked about was, yes, we did appoint Dr. Mu as the health officer. Go back, watch that segment. I think if you can watch the comments that he made to the public, they should be very encouraging. You know, what I truly appreciate it, and I get this, because I was very similar in my approach, knowing that there were people that did not vote for me, and the whole purpose was, it's like, hey, I'm going to work hard to earn your trust, earn your respect. And Dr. Mu had mentioned to Supervisor Kelstrom, myself, and Chair Jones, thank you for the support. And he said for Supervisors Garmin and Rickert, he hopes to earn their trust and support over time. And it was heartfelt. There was no doubt. There is no doubt that he wants what's best for Shasta County. And I think that's what's important, is I think that we continue to get people in leadership positions that are very pro-liberty, pro-constitution, pro-understanding the importance of what our sovereign rights are as individual. And I got to tell you, this Spencer's still here. I'm just so thankful for you. I'm thankful for the people in Shasta County. They're still willing to have conversations, maybe not always agree, but can get along and move this county for not just our own kids, but for